Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry. I am so honored today because I have Kendra Beavis with me, and Kendra is the founder and CEO of the brand strategy studio, Mocha Creative. Although her business has been successful, her proudest achievement has been her personal growth. She survived a tumultuous marriage, battled several addictions, as well as navigated the path through single motherhood. Each of these moments was a fork in the road for her. Each point she could have turned to despair and darkness. It would have been easy to give up. However, she didn't just persist, she thrived. Kendra has learned how to use her biggest challenges as a navigating force. Her traumas have become catalysts for her radical growth to move forward and live her best life. Now she shares her brand new method, which is brand new you method, with women who are looking to move past their trauma and living life, their best life. Together with her clients, she walks them through the steps to figuring out who they want to be, how they want to feel every day, and what they want to live their lives and what they want it to look like. Using the BNY method, they are now able to find clarity, confidence, and inspiration to take aligned action. Thank you so much for being here today, Kendra.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to dive into your journey because I know it's been quite the journey, but if you could share with us, I know in a nutshell, if you could, of how you got here today.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, brand new you is really a new endeavor for me. My initial business that I've been running for the past 20 years is Mocha. We're a creative studio based in New York, and I started by taking a job that was totally out of alignment. And I was so disenchanted with the way that businesses were named, the way we were working with clients. It was just not a great studio. And even the experience I'd had before that in Manhattan was just really not the way I wanted to do things. And I grew up in a family-run business, and business was personal. There was no distinction between, you know, this, I hate that term. Oh, it's just business. Nothing is just business. There's always a person. There's always an emotion. There's always like a family or somebody behind the business. So for me, I wanted to do things differently. And I decided to leave the job I dreamed of in Manhattan, which was shocking. And I moved back to Long Island and started my freelance career. And that was 22 years ago now. But I just knew that I could not get on that train and go into that city and work for this man and do this kind of work anymore. And that the alternative, I wasn't sure what it looked like, but I knew I was going to make it something that was much more in alignment with myself and, have more fun doing it. So I took the leap and it worked out.
Seems
which is
like
what
it.
I'm doing with this one too.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit more about brand new you method.
Yeah. So, I'm just, you know, it's so funny because when I started down this road, first of all, I didn't realize like, well, how do you run two businesses? One that's very successful and the other that's just like a total newborn baby. And it's daunting too, because you feel like you're starting over and you're a total newbie again. Cause it's a completely different industry, but, I took a lot of what I learned building my first business and poured that into this. So the customer experience, really streamlining and making my systems very solid, so that I could kind of take a step out and really get the support I needed here as well. Because my creative studio, we have an incredible team. I mean, I was able to go to Italy and basically manage the business from like trains shooting across like the Italian countryside, and everything was, you know, kind of humming. So how could I build this business the same way, where I have a great team. I have the support, still keeping in mind that I have no revenue from this business yet. So, you know, kind of balancing that as the business grows, just reinvesting back into it. So I'm bringing a lot of what I already learned from Mocha into this.
I love that because it goes back to understanding like building one business is hard, but having two is even harder. However, you had all the knowledge and tools of what worked for Mocha and applying that like systems and having things a little bit more mainstream. So it's not like starting from complete scratch in a way of like the knowledge you have, but yes, it's like a newborn baby because it's different. Like each kid is different and things like that. So if you want to look at it that way too. So I'm curious, as you were building Mocha, what were some of the roadblocks that you hit when you were starting to build it?
I think one of the first things, just the business structure. I'd never actually run a business before. I grew up in a family run business, but I was very much kept out of like the bookkeeping and the day-to-day. Like I had no idea how to even balance my personal checkbook, much less, you know, all the expenses and all of the things that my creative studio was incurring. So I tried to do everything all by myself and like YouTube, well, actually YouTube wasn't even really a thing back then, but learn on my own. And, but I pretty quickly realized, through, I don't want to say failure because I love failure. Failure is like another lesson, more information to move forward, but I learned that I need to employ experts who can take what I don't do well and they love doing it and like just run with it. So, you know, now we have bookkeepers, we have a web dev team, although I love coding and working on websites in that way. It just made so much more sense when I was able to put people in a position of their zone of genius that they could just kind of run with that. So learning that lesson pretty early on with bringing in support and a good team, you know, when I could was always the best play.
I really appreciate you breaking down the roadblocks too of everything you've experienced as well. But also, you know, there's a conception of how people who grow up in a family business, they might know all the ins and outs of the business, but just a testimony to what your experience was like as well, I think kind of speaks volumes. No one way is the way it is.
No, I think we pull from our life experience to create whatever it is that we're trying to create. So for me, the family business really taught me about customer experience because my dad and uncle, the way they ran their business, it's a 75-year-old, in essence, a convenience store and a deli, but like it became a like center of the community because everybody loved coming there and they were treated so well. And it was like a family. And to the point where my grandfather used to give out pretzels, just like really made it super special because there are 1,000 convenience stores, but like there was only one McCarrick's Dairy. So it really taught me about like how to kind of stand out in a crowded space, how to make people feel special, how to make, you know, every single client feel like they're your most important client.
That's so true because you think about it, there are a lot of convenience stores or stores in general, but what really helps stand out, and I love that it was like the heart of the community as well. And I think that just speaks volumes of business. But going back to starting your business, what was that initial pull? I know you said the work environment you were in prior, you wanted to get out of, but what was really that drive to say, I can do this on my own, I can create this business?
I think I always had the mindset of wanting to be a business owner. I don't even know that I knew the word entrepreneur back then. But I just knew that for me, the way I wanted to raise my family, what I envisioned for my future, the freedom that I envisioned, that kind of aligned well with that. So it was always very attractive. I just thought I would be in the corporate world a longer time to kind of cut my teeth and really learn more before I made that initial jump. So I was a little surprised that I did it as soon as I did, but I've learned that one of my superpowers is that I'm super resilient and I will never give up. I'm very persistent. And I knew I had a network of people that Over the years in working in a corporate environment as a graphic designer, I had this network. So when I decided to leave, I called everyone I knew and I was like, hey, I know you do a yearly catalog. Let me do it for you. Or I started calling. I thought about like, what do I really like designing and what do I love, you know, spending my time doing? And at the time I was getting married, loved the wedding industry. So I started designing wedding invitations. And then I started calling photographers because digital albums were not a thing back then. So, and I knew I could lay them out like beautifully. So I called all these photographers. I showed them an example of, you know, I'd never actually done it professionally, but I figured if I could show them something that they loved and I could recreate that for them. And then I called printers because I knew a lot of print shops didn't have in-house designers or, you know, kind of skated by. So I just started like kind of hitting the ground running and cold calling and creating relationships. And I wasn't scared, which is crazy because I probably should have been, but I was just like, nope, I'm going to make this happen no matter what. And I had fun. I met the greatest people. I'm still in contact with so many of them today. So it was good.
Yeah. I love just the fact that you were able to network too, and just not be afraid, because a lot of people are afraid in the beginning or scared or not know how to like navigate that. But it really is about building relationships, and it's a testament because you still have those relationships today, as you mentioned, but being able to create a beautiful network for yourself, but just calling, being able to reach out.
You know, everybody at the end of the day is just a person with a problem. And if you can solve it, and I think that was one of the things I learned at the branding studio I was at in Manhattan. I was working with these huge, huge companies and I was like so intimidated, Standard and Poor's. And I was like, oh my God, it's, you know, going to be in Times Square. But I was talking to another person in an office who was just like me. So, you know, it kind of took the fear out of the perception of what I was doing. And then it was just like, you know what, it's just people trying to make everything work better and look better. And so, yeah, that made it easier.
Yes, absolutely. And what are maybe one or two of your success stories with Mocha, but also then with Brand New You as well? If you could give one or two from each success story.
Mocha has, I mean, the biggest success I've had with Mocha is just the way I've been able to run my life. Like aside from any awards we've ever won or anything like that, like the lifestyle I've been able to maintain, being with my kids so often, just the cool people I've been able to meet, my team. I just love what it's done for me personally. I think that's been the biggest achievement of the business for me in my life. But as far as, there's no like pinnacle of this was the moment. I think my favorite moments are when I can walk into a conference room. Actually, I have a specific.
Yeah.
I walked into one conference room one time and it was all male CEO, a male CEO and other men. And, he sat there and he looked at me and he told me for about 25 minutes why he wasn't going to hire me. And then I had preemptively redesigned their website just based on what I kind of knew about their industry and the company. And I did a lot of research before I sat down and I turned my laptop around and I showed him his new website and, or, you know, the potential draft. And he was like, okay, so where do we sign? And that was 6 years ago. And I still work with them to this day.
Oh, I love it.
Love turning a room. It's my favorite thing.
Especially like, because a lot of times there's women that are in male dominant industries, but being able to show up so powerfully and just the work speaks for itself too. And I love that. I love that factor and being able to do that.
It's happened so often where I'll walk into a room and I can very palpably feel that the perception of what I'm going to bring to the table is not very much. And by the end of it, they're like, oh, well, when can we talk next? And can you take a look at this? And it's probably one of my favorite things about doing what I do.
Oh, I love it. And it goes back to like who you are as a person, but being able to do the research, being prepared essentially, and knowing, okay, I'm doing the research, I'm getting everything together and being able to completely turn the room. I admire that.
I think that's one of like my biggest piece of advice is if you're going into, you know, you're building a new business and you are in a pitch position, like do as much research as you can. I internet stalk any new client, any piece of information I could get. I look at all their competitors. I look at other industries that are kind of doing something similar and really trying to think outside the box of what can I bring to the table that's going to like knock their socks off and really solve the issue. And the other thing to also remember is like a lot of times people will come to you with what they think they want and need. And it's really up to us, regardless of what your industry is to think about what is their problem and what's the best solution, not necessarily what they're asking for and just say yes. I think that's been something that's kind of helped my company stand out is that we don't just say, okay, we'll make you a website. We talk about why do you need a website? And maybe you need to look at your branding as well. And what's the messaging and who's your core audience and all of those things. So, you know, don't be afraid to kind of reassess and reevaluate what the project is and what the scope of work should be.
It's looking underneath the hood, right? Or it's not just like surface level, but understanding the need or kind of seeing it before they even see it sometimes.
Right. Because
a lot of times people, especially if you're hiring someone, you might not always know exactly what you need, but you're like, okay, I know I need a website or like, you know, the basic things of running an online business or just a business in general nowadays in social media world. But being able to recognize that too is so imperative of being able to continue to move forward. So I'm curious with some of the tips you've given some tips, but what has been like two or three tips that are pivotal in growing your business?
Hire before you think you need to. The money will, you know, the people that you're bringing in, of course, make a smart hire, but I've never hired the right person and it turn around and cost me anything. I've learned that if I don't make that jump when I'm starting to feel that tension happening where it's just a little bit overwhelming for my team, we all suffer. So bringing on new people, I work with a lot of interns too, because I absolutely love fresh new ideas and new brains and the way they come to the table with like, you know, this whole generation of different ideas. So I like having a multitude of different ages. So, you know, diversify your team, make sure that they all enjoy each other to kind of cultivate that team structure. Everyone on my team is virtual now, so we utilize Slack quite a bit.
I believe it.
And make sure you have a good tech stack to that point too. You know, utilize tools. Don't be afraid to pay for a subscription for something that's really going to change the way you are able to structure your business. If you have really good tools, you know, that are part of very solid systems, you'll do much better. Things will be easier. The communication will be better. Projects will go easier and smoother. Before we had a project management system, it was just sort of like, I think that file's there. And oh, I didn't tell you that. And oh, right, the due date on that. So once we started figuring out that sort of stuff, it became a lot easier.
Yeah, it definitely will be easier once everyone's on the same page of communication is so key in business. But especially if everyone's virtual and you can't just like go to their office or go down the street, it's a little bit different.
Yeah. One of my team members, his son just turned 5 today.
Oh, happy birthday to him.
Yeah. So I shared it in our Slack channel and he's so cute.
It becomes like a family.
It really does. I mean, Martin's been with us for 7 years now. Oh. It's cool. And I think mindset too, like understanding that I always tell people when you start a business, get a journal and write down all your wins. Because there are days where you're like, I mean, I've been doing this 23 years and there's still days where I'm like, what am I doing? I have no idea.
Doesn't go away, I guess.
Yeah, no. So then, you know, having that repository of like, oh, right, we killed that project, or, oh, that was the best testimonial, or, oh yeah, I remember that day that made me feel so great. You know, having that book to kind of lift you when you really, really need it is good. Because it's a roller coaster for sure.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. It's celebrating those small wins are so imperative, because like what you're saying, where people feel like, am I doing this? Like, what am I doing? And even after 23 years, you're still asking that, but it just shows that like you love what you do and you're still like learning and growing and evolving. It's not staying stagnant as well. Never. Just to kind of put that in there. But I think too, it's just being able to recognize that, especially pen to paper, pencil to paper, anything on paper, you can see it. It doesn't get deleted. Maybe potentially, you know, it's right there. So I love that idea. That's a great advice of having a journal. I wish I thought of that sooner. Now I'm going to start.
I keep little trinkets in my office too, that I can kind of surround myself with, whether it's like packages we've designed that I just think are so fun, or you know, thank you notes from clients, or just things from trade shows or things we've gone to together. You know, it just, I don't know, creates this really cool environment of like, this is the life of this business surrounding me.
Absolutely. And I know you mentioned, or Naya mentioned in the beginning of your bio, that you have children, and I would love for you to speak on how did you manage single like parenting, but also then just being a mom and entrepreneurship. How did you really integrate everything?
I am very strategic about who I work with. I'm very upfront. This is the way we are. This is my team. This is me. And if that doesn't work for someone, then we don't work with them. I'd never feel like we have to get every single client that comes our way. It's got to be the right relationship. And that always forms, you know, this bond that, I mean, like I said, we've had clients for 18, 20 years almost. So having clients who understood, you know, she's a mom, and there are days where I might be, you know, I had a high desk, so my baby would be on my lap and I'd be on Zoom. But you know, everyone was just really, everyone we work with is very understanding, and I have a, I don't want to say balanced, because I don't really, it's not separate, you know? I just sort of work everything in together, and I urge my team to do the same thing. Like if you aren't working 9 to 5, that's fine. I want you to work around your family, go to the birthday parties, live your life, do the passion, the thing you're passionate about, but I just don't think you should have to fit your life around your job. I think they should marry and integrate with each other. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's kind of how I was able to, manage that as a single mom. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of late nights too.
I believe that. And, you know, that's one thing I used to talk a lot about, work-life balance, and with new knowledge the last few years, I've morphed it into more work-life integration, because I don't think there's a complete balance, especially being a parent or just having the responsibilities we have as adults, and how do we integrate everything into our lives. But I love that's like the motto at where your team is too, and your business, and being able to really understand life is important. Work's important too, but like life and being there, showing up for your kids, the birthday parties, where you want to be in both places, but how do you integrate the two? So I appreciate you sharing that as well. And if somebody was starting their business and they just really needed to know like 2 or 3 tips of what is so imperative, or you wish you would have known when you started?
Support. I mean, like not even just from team members, but like other business owners. So whether it be local or something online, just to kind of bounce ideas off of. I have accountability partners that I just adore. And I don't know that we actually, like, it's not a strategic thing. We just talk every Wednesday morning. They're in the UK. So it's like an 8 a.m. thing. I'm in with coffee. They're having their lunch. And we just talk about our struggles, our wins, our, and it's so helpful because you don't feel alone and you get other people's input. So that kind of support, I really recommend right from the get-go. And I think, you know, it depends. I think Canva is a really incredible tool for any business. Mm-hmm. If you don't know what it is and you're starting a business, go sign up for your free account.
Yes.
Then get the paid, because it's worth it. Yeah. And then I think just not, just taking your time and not being impatient with results, just keep being consistent. Think outside the box. If you're in a place where you're trying to make new relationships or get new clients, like really think about who your ideal client is, because, you know, you don't want to cast a wide net and hit all these people that it aren't your really target audience. So get super specific about who you're talking to, and then start talking to those people, whether it be on social media, on LinkedIn, wherever you're at, try and even in real life, and think outside the box, try and find them in alternative ways than you might, you know, find on Google.
Wise advice. And you know, it's true. Like I hear so many people say, focus on your niche, like what that is. Stop like going too general, because it's going to bring in people that maybe you don't want to work with, or right, doesn't seem like the right fit for either one of you, the client or the business owner as well. But I think that's so important to highlight as well. And just support, having support is so key, because a lot of times I run into entrepreneurs that maybe the family doesn't agree, or friends are like, what are you doing? Or whatever it is, but having support, people that are in your corner that are going to help you grow and expand as well. And I think you touched on so many great points. So I just wanted to highlight a few of them as well.
I also want to mention red flags.
Ooh, yes, so please
keep
do.
Keep an eye out for what I call red flag clients. These are not your ideal clients. These are the ones that you do that initial intake call or have that first meeting, and you're like, I am never going to be able to hit the nail on this head on the head for this one. So I look for things like, they're not sure about direction. They're not very, you know, they can't answer your questions. They kind of just don't trust you either. So, you know, I'm trying to be super general, because there's many different types of people who would listen to this. So, look for those things. And kind of use your gut too. If it feels like, because you will drive yourself crazy trying to make this company, this client, whatever it is, happy, and you never will. So look out for that, and do not be afraid to just say, you know what, this isn't going to work out.
Yes. Being able to be honest and transparent with them too, like, or even just with yourself first and foremost, but knowing that not every client is the right fit. And I think red flags are really important, and trusting the gut, because I've had that sometimes. I'm like, no, this is not going to work in my head. And you know, just my client list got too long. Couldn't take them on, and that's okay. But whatever you need to say, but realizing too, it's being honest with yourself. I think that's such a great red flag to look for, especially knowing that you're not going to make them happy if you're not, like you said, all those different examples of how it can, even generalization, but being able to trust yourself.
Yeah.
Because the money's not that important.
A lot of other designers in this area, and even online remotely. So there's plenty of times where I'll get a job in or a request in, and I'm like, this does not fit my wheelhouse, but it does fit their wheelhouse. So I'll make the introduction and connect them.
See, it's all about networking, knowing the right people to refer them to as well.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
I've been enjoying this conversation so much. I feel like you've shared so many great golden nuggets for everyone to apply and be able to just look out for as well. But we're going to jump into the rapid fire questions if you're ready for them.
I'm ready.
All right. First question is, who is your hero?
My dad, I guess. He's just, oh, okay. I have a better answer. My dad's amazing. absolute angel. But my Nana is like, when I think of my business inspiration, and when it comes to like that, she was just amazing. She had 9 kids. She went back to school and got her nursing license. Then she decided, I think she was like 60, and she decided to open up a liquor store. And just because she was really the driving force behind my grandfather's business. So where he started just delivering milk, and then she was like, Tom, I don't want all these customers coming into the house paying their milk bills. Let's put a little convenience store out front. And while it's out there, just pack some bread in there, get some eggs, you know, we'll, and she just always was kind of this very quiet little nudge along with, you know, making that business what it was, sort of from behind the scenes. So she's in my office, and every office I've ever had, I have her picture with me, and she just guides me through all my choices. I trust her implicitly watching over me.
Oh, that's beautiful. And it just sounds like an incredible woman that you've got to learn from, and was a role model, it sounds like too.
Yeah.
What motivates you to work smarter?
Time, just getting back time. The whole point of my life is to just enjoy experiences with my kids, with my husband, with my friends, by myself. So as much time as I can get back, that's what drives me to work smarter.
Well said. And if you were a superhero, what would be your power or powers?
Oh, I would transport. I would be able to go to like Cairo and like sit on top of the, the pyramids, go do meditation in, Bali or whatever, India. Yeah. I would just go all over the place. I'm obsessed with travel. I want to live, be a nomad.
I think a lot of us want that life. Mm-hmm. So I concur. I definitely want teleporting and transporting to become a thing very quickly and soon. I feel like it's being worked on though.
Right. I need one of those Doctor Strange circles to step through.
That would be ideal.
Yeah.
So if you were to share a meal with any four individuals, living or dead, who would they be?
So stupid. I love Harry Styles. I just think he's like a golden human being. I'd be so disappointed if he's not, but I just love what he stands for. I love how he seems to be guiding this generation in such a beautiful way of kind of just chilling out and accepting each other. And I love it. I would love to hear about his creative process and his drive, and Lin-Manuel Miranda for a very similar reason. I just think he's like the Mozart of this generation. He's so fascinating. I don't understand where he comes up with all of the amazing things that he creates. Van Gogh. Oh, enough said. And I think Mary Magdalene would be really cool to sit down with too. So yeah, that's my four.
That's a good pack of people. What is the most daring thing you've ever done?
Probably ask my ex-husband to leave. I wasn't worried. I think when I got to the point where I was finally ready to make that jump, I knew I would be fine. Because I realized that like everything we had had in our lives was really because of me making it happen. So I knew I would be okay. Looking back, it was scary, but I did it.
Well, I believe that it was probably very scary, but it just shows to your bravery of pushing through any thoughts you had or anything. But I mean, like you said in the bio too, it's the persistence that you have. And you've said on here as well, that you had that persistence no matter what was happening to push through.
Yeah. I just don't ever want to waste time with not living a life that is amazing and joyful. And there was so long during that marriage that I lost my joy and I lost my light. And then going through my realizing that I was an alcoholic, it fueled those decisions. Like, what am I doing? This life is such a gift and there's so much I want to accomplish and do and not miss out on. So that's usually the driver behind most of those pretty definitive choices.
And what was the drive to actually like do that daring aspect of asking him to leave?
I didn't want my kids to grow up in a house where I was so miserable and couldn't be the kind of mom that I wanted to be. I wanted to be their, I mean, it sounds cliche because everyone says you shouldn't be your kids' best friends, but I did want to create that relationship with them in some way in the future when they were older. Even though I kind of think they're my best friends now, but
they know it. Maybe they don't say it, but
they're just the best. But yeah, I couldn't parent them the way I wanted to. Everything I knew we would never get to the place I wanted us to get to, together. So I knew I could get to that place with the kids and without him. And then I happened to meet the most incredible man a couple of years later. And he was just kind of like the cherry on top of our lives.
I love it. When they add value and it all glues together.
Yes. We don't need each other. We absolutely adore having each other though.
Oh, I love that. I love hearing that too. It does exist. And what is the phone app that you use the most?
Oh, Instagram.
It's a good one. I love it.
I love it. Well, and Instagram and YouTube, I love learning. I'm fascinated by content. And what I do, you know, makes sense to just keep my finger on the pulse of like what's trending and what's working and what are new things that are kind of emerging and kind of getting inspiration from that. But I love Instagram. I love seeing creators. I'm obsessed with potters. I don't know why. I love watching people do pottery. It's just fascinating.
It's so cool. It's amazing how it just like forms, but it's like, you know, nothing to something.
I just think creativity, and it's just, where did that come from? Like somebody just, you know, it just blows my mind. It amazes me that as long as humanity has been alive, there's still individual or original ideas.
Yes. And they keep coming, you know, the younger generation. I'm so impressed with some people. I'm just like, wow. Well, a lot of people, not some, a lot. And what is the last book that you've read?
Oh gosh. I have ADHD, so I'm in the middle of like six of them. I was reading this one, Why Design Matters by Debbie Millman, Media Mentor by Marianne DeMarco, who I'm absolutely obsessed with. She's a psychic medium, and this book is all about like tapping into your own intuition and super actionable. It's amazing.
Check that one out.
And Story Brand. I don't know who that's by, but yeah.
Well, they all sound like completely different reads, but really good.
That's a little peek into my brain.
You know what's funny? A lot of entrepreneurs, I see this theme. Like they're like, I've started multiple books, but like they go back and forth. Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of like that sometimes, but yeah, I think it's cool. So if you were to have a movie about your life thus far, who would play you?
Oh, I would hope Sandra Bullock.
She's a phenomenal actress.
Oh, I love her so much. And she's so funny. And I feel like she doesn't take herself too seriously. And I kind of jumped into loving technology because of The Net.
Oh,
that movie.
Yeah.
So she's on the beach with her laptop. And I was like, yes, that's what I want to do. I don't care what it is. I just want to do that.
I want that life
from her living room on the computer. And I was like, what?
That's where it all started.
It did. Yeah. So if you and Sandy go way back.
I love it. I love it. She's family. So if you have a day off, what is your favorite way to spend that day off?
Either with a lot of people, like my kids, my family, doing something incredible, or being by myself and like meditating in my kayak in the middle of the lake. Either, or sitting on the ocean doing that. I mean, yeah, I love both sides of the spectrum.
Well, it sounds relaxing either way. And so what is something an outsider wouldn't know about your industry?
There's so much psychology to it. I had a friend of mine who was switching gears. He works for Estee Lauder, and he was he had a degree in psychology, but he was in their business department, and they were sending him back to school so he could get a graphic design degree. And he was older, and he's like, I just feel like I'm starting from scratch. And I was like, you're starting with the like core of what you need, because when you're sitting there and you're talking to somebody and you're trying to figure out, especially when you're trying to create a brand for someone, you need to put like their brain in your brain and think like them and really embody who they are and why they created their business and what their mission is, and really live that and breathe that to be able to create what they've got in their minds, and pull that out and show them visually. So yeah, there's a lot more psychology than you think.
I didn't realize that. I mean, like I did, but I didn't kind of thing. The way you put it, like just kind of sparked a new thought for me. But I think it's true when you take a step back as well, when you're building a brand, it's knowing the person, but speaking as if it's them too, and building that brand. I mean, I don't do branding by any means. That's your wheelhouse. But the psychology factor, that just kind of sparked a thought for me. But
yeah, the other side of it too, because then how are you then speaking to their ideal client, and what is the client going to think, and what's their user journey, and you know, so both sides of that coin. And I've always been fascinated with psychology. If I wasn't a designer, I think I probably would have went down that road. So
it's a good field. It's exhausting, but it's a good field.
I love the human brain. I think it's so cool. Like, why do we make choices like that? And yeah.
Yes. No, it's pretty fascinating. There's still so much we don't know about the human brain. But with that being said, Kendra, I've so enjoyed this conversation. But before I let you go, where can people find you, hire you? We'll link everything below, but if you could let us know too.
Well, it depends on what you want.
There you go.
If you want to hit me up for some branding, we do a lot of consulting, whatever that looks like, you can go to thinkmocha.com. And if you are interested in the brand new You method, it is basically how I brand companies is taking that on for your own personal growth. So rebranding yourself and using those same pillars that I use for branding companies to have this visual to grow into and create this baseline. So, you know, when a company comes to us and we give them a brand book and it's like, here are your fonts, here are your colors, here are your rules, here's your tone, same thing for your persona. So I found that it's very helpful when women aren't really men too, but I'm niching into women when they're not sure what direction to turn and they've just come out of something. They just don't know what even the possibilities are and who they are right now. So this kind of helps them create this persona to grow into.
Mm, I think that's so important.
And that's brandnewyou.life.
Perfect. Well, we'll definitely link it below. But Kendra, thank you so much for just being so transparent and vulnerable about your journey, the experiences, the ups, downs, and everything in between. I know I appreciate it. I'm sure everybody listening too is learning something new from you. So we definitely appreciate you being on today.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. It was an absolute pleasure.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure as well. And make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway from Kendra today? What did you learn about branding, about just really being able to figure out different tips and ways to build your business in a way that's going to be helpful for you? I know I've learned a few things, but make sure to like, subscribe, and comment, and we'll see you on the next video.